Before I read a scripture, there was a true story. It came out in one of the magazines. It was around. People read it for years. There was a Pentecostal preacher, Assembly of God preacher, up in Michigan. Ice cold, freezing, snow, ice all over the ground. You know what condition it was in. And this preacher was before the fireplace watching the news. And back there in those days, don't think they had a television. I think that he was watching, listening to radio. There was something on the radio, and he was sitting there warm, and he'd had his supper, and the snow was outside coming down. And he heard a rap on the door. And when he heard a rap on the door, he went to the door, and there was a boy that, the only ones that was concerned about reaching him, but they don't believe in hell. But he's doing, you know, what you're supposed to do is witness, so that's what he is doing. And he's on a bicycle, and he didn't have any gloves, and he was talking, you know, there, had a pamphlet in his hand, won't know if the man had given a dime for it, and if he didn't, why he'd give it to him. It was about how to get in the kingdom of God. Well, this preacher was already in the kingdom of God, you know, and he was a Pentecostal preacher and filled with the Holy Ghost and saved and on his way to heaven. And he looked at the boy, and he looked at the sign on his bicycle. He had a bag with a bunch of leaflets in it. He said, "You are that bunch that don't believe in hell, aren't you?" "Yes, sir," he said. We don't believe that God sends anybody to hell." And so he said, "Well, boy, look, I don't have no time for that." He said, "You can just pedal it on down the road." He said, "Mister, do you believe in hell?" He said, "I certainly do." "Well," he said, "what do you mean? You believe that God sends people to hell if they're not converted?" And he said, "Yeah." "You mean they burn in hell?" "Yeah." "You mean after judgment that God that they're sent into hell and in the fire and they burn there forever and ever and ever and ever?" "Now, I've heard that some people believe that. Do you believe that?" He said, "Why, sure I do. I believe that's what Jesus said. I believe the Word of God believes that if you don't serve God, that you'll go to hell. And you'll just be there forever and ever. And I don't have no time for this stuff here." He said, "Mr. Luke, are you honest? Are you telling me the truth?" He said, "Why, sure I am." He said, "For God's sake, man, put your pleasures down, whatever you got in there by that fire. And you get out here on this bicycle and take my place. I'll take my litter tour. But if you believe what you say, if I believe what you say, I wouldn't be sitting in there at that fireplace. I'd be going with this bicycle with freezing hands, telling everybody I could that there was a hell and to stay out of it." And the man just looked at him and didn't say nothing, but the boy got on his bicycle and left. But that preacher went back and found him a room and had a prayer meeting. And after that, he started preaching what he believed. He preached hell like he believed the Bible taught it. And then when he got through preaching it, he got out and he started living like it, letting people know that he really believed what he preached. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on today casting a shadow on what God has to say about hell. Let me go on record by saying here, God don't send people to hell. People send theirself to hell, and God has only got two places, one made for the devil and one made for God's saints that believe on his way of escape, believe on his Son, and if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life in heaven with God. But if we don't believe it, then we're lost. And God can't prepare for you. God can't do your praying. God can't do your witnessing. He can't do your consecrating. He can't do your repenting. He can't do your confessing. He can't live the life for you. It's up to you to live a Christian life, to live a prayerful life, to read the Word of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of a Christian life, and to witness to others. God cannot do that for you, and neither can God force sinners to serve Him. He does His best, and God is doing everything within His power to keep people from going to a hell that He knows all about. He knows it's there, And he knows that people are going there. Many have never heard about it. Their ignorance don't escape them. They still go. And like it says in Jeremiah, Jeremiah saw the judgment. He saw the end day. And he saw a multitude that no man could number. And Jeremiah said, I got up close and here's what I heard. I heard them. They said, the harvest is past. And the summer is ended. And we're not saved. They were before the judgment. Harvest passed, summer ended, and we're not saved. The only people that's going to go to heaven are the saved. The lost all go to hell. The lost all go to hell. In Adam, we all die. We come to Christ with a dead soul and we're saved. And it said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If they believe it, they'll be saved and have eternal life. If they don't, they'll be damned. Now, it's not God damns you, it's you're damned already. You're born with a death sentence over you. You don't have to do a thing to go to hell. All you've got to do is come in this life and do nothing and you go to hell. Because you're lost already. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I come to save it. And what we're doing is offering you a way of escape, which is as true. Now the thing we're doing is this. Some people say, well, all the Bible says that God is love, 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 love. It all depends on who's talking to you about the Bible. This Bible is literally crammed full from Genesis to Revelation that God has a fierce anger. And that God is angry with the sinner. And the Bible said, he that hath Christ hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but God's love, no. God's wrath abides upon him. And so what I'm here to tell you today, there is such a thing as coming to Jesus. Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, your homemade concocted theory will never get you to heaven. There's only one way anybody sitting here and watching this preacher will ever go into the presence of God and serve him is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. And when you're born again, you walk in the Spirit. You do not walk after the flesh. You live a holy, consistent life. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see God. Brother, this world is living like they want to, and that crowd winds up in hell. I am not to make the doctrine and preach it. A lot of preachers do. They make their own doctrine. God has nothing to do with it. Doctrine of devils. Uses men that are devil possessed to create new doctrines. I am merely handing down to you God's word. I want to read to you, and I want you to be sober this morning as I read. I want to turn to a portion of scripture here, Paul the apostle writing, and it said, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, that doesn't mean that if you sin willfully after you accept Christ, there's never no hope for you forever if you ever commit a sin. Because all of you go to hell if that be the case. Because the best of you have failed, you've sinned, you've come short. It says merely that if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. The only sacrifice that God ever gave for your sin has already been given. John the Baptist said, behold, God's Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And when he goes to the cross and spills his blood, that's curtains. That's the end. There will never, never, never be another blood sacrifice. Never can another individual sacrifice and the blood appease God. God is going to deal with sin once and for all in the body of his Son Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not a way, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He backed it up by walking into death, giving himself to death, coming out and mastering death the third day. God raised him from the dead, sanctioned everything he said while he is living. Jesus' first sermon, after he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you can imagine how full of power he was. He came forth and preached that great sermon. And in the latter part of that sermon, he said, don't fear he that can kill the body and soul. Don't fear he that can kill the body and destroy the soul. He said, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear the one that after you have been killed can cast you into hell. He didn't apologize. He said, the one to fear is the one that can take care of you after you're dead, and he can cast you into hell. Now, as you said, well, now, does God cast us into hell? God sees to it that you're put in hell, and he's the one that says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting hell. Why? Because they did not prepare to go to heaven. You see? Now, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If you do not neglect it, you won't go to hell. You'll go to heaven. Why? Because God's plan of salvation is real. Now here, listen to what it says. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, that's through Christ, there remains no more sacrifice of sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. If you don't come back to Christ and get your sins taken care of, use one thing you've got to look forward to is the fiery, looking forward to the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that has despised Moses' law under the Old Testament, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. God said, kill them. The God of love said, kill them. If they despised the law of Moses, and if they broke the law, they committed adultery, kill her. Don't spare, no forgiving. It's kill them. Under grace, Christ is willing to forgive. It's mercy, grace. But under the law, it was a strict law. God said, stone them to death. And by the thousands, they were stoned to death. They had to keep God's law. Sabbath day had certain laws that had a death penalty to it. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment? Suppose ye, shall ye, in the New Testament, be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. How do you think you can escape under the New Testament setup, under Christ, under grace, under the Holy Ghost, under all of the experiences we have? We have a new birth. If God dealt with them harshly under the law when they didn't have Christ, they didn't have faith, they didn't have a new birth, they didn't have the blood to look to, they did not have the life in the Spirit, they were not made sons of God as we are now, they were not permitted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God said, if God spared not them, how much sore punishment? How will God deal out judgment to these today? This is not God's day of judgment. This is his period of mercy, love, and grace. But one day it's going to be the wrath of the Lamb. It's the love of the Lamb now. The door's open now, but it'll be closed then. You know how it's going to have judgment? I'll tell you what it said. God, it says, he shall have judgment without mercy. How is God going to have judgment without mercy? Going by the strict letter. If you haven't prepared, to hell you go. You know what he does? Stands up there in one word. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. prepared for the devil and for his angels. And so these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You say, that's hard. It's a God's blessing we have it now, than to hear it then, brother, when there's no repentance, when there's no communion to be served, when there's no mercy, when there's no grace, when there's no open door, when the door has been closed, when once the master of the house has shut the door, and ye begin to say, Lord, open unto us, and he shall say, I know you not. My Bible says, in the words of Jesus, when once the master of the house has risen, and he shut the door. It said, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace has come. And you say, ha, I stay. It says, quit your sin. Ha, I'll continue my sin. Quit your worldliness. Ha, I'll continue my worldliness like I want to. You say, you don't save me with your lips. No, you don't have to. By your actions, you answer God. It says, and they do despite the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace moves upon your heart to reveal to you what you ought to do. You're a free moral agent. You have a will. You can resist God, and many do. But God help the soul that does. Here it says, they have done despite the Spirit of grace. You don't want to do that, do you? If God reproves you, that's bad enough to be guilty and have to have a reproof. But, oh, friend, never, never sit back and resist God when he's reproving you, and do despite the Spirit of grace. For we know he that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. Not you. Vengeance belongeth to me. I will repay. He didn't say I might repay. He said, I will repay. What else? He said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again I will repay. And again he saith, the Lord shall judge his people. God's going to judge his creation. The next verse, 31, says, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Where are the little puny somebodies that will defy God and make a liar out of him and say, ha, oh, when you die, there's nothing to worry about? I don't find that in the Bible nowhere. It said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You know what Paul the Apostle said? The greatest New Testament writer we have. He wrote practically all the New Testament. Paul said, knowing therefore, not guessing about it, he said, knowing therefore the terror of God. He didn't say the love of God. One place says the goodness and severity. Behold therefore the goodness of God. The goodness of God, the love of God, and the severity. I'm talking this morning about the severity of God. Now, to those who refuse to let God manifest his mercy and his love, to you he will manifest his severity. You believe it? It's a fearful thing. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we persuade men everywhere. As I mentioned, in this lesson today, I'm not going to take one of the main things that Jesus gave us, an actual happening of a man that went to hell and told us all about it. He didn't say when death comes and you're unsaved that you'll just die and that's it. If that'd been the case, he's the Son of God. He told the truth. He told the truth. I don't have time to go into all that in my lesson today. But in Luke 16, he said that that rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. They had his funeral, and while he's having the funeral, putting roses on his casket, his body, he had another body. They could look at that body. There it was, right there. And it was up on earth. They had flowers on the casket. They could look by and see his face. But brother, he had another face. He had another body, and it is in hell. When Jesus died, he left his body right there in that sepulchre. But his spirit went and took on another body and went down to the heart of the earth and ministered to the spirits in prison. He had another body. When I die, my body will go out the graveyard, but I'm not going to be there. I'm headed for heaven. And if I'm lost, I head for hell. And Jesus said that rich man lifted up his eyes in torment. Lifted up his eyes. He had eyeballs in his head. And he said, I'm tormented in these flames. Now you'd try to argue and say, wait just a minute. Now you don't mean that. You see, today we believe he's a God of love. Sweet. And don't say fire. Say maybe he was in a dream or imagination. God's son said the rich man died and went to hell. How many believe that no matter what you believe here, when you come to the end, you're going to find out heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. No man here today can take one verse of that Bible and say, God said he'd do this at a specific time and he didn't do it, he lied. Brother, you don't live, nobody else lived. When God says something, brother, he can't lie. It's just like that. He said the man died and went to hell. I believe it. And I believe he said everybody else that's not born again and have their name put in the Lamb Book of Life is going to be cast into a lake of fire. He said that, and I believe it. You may not believe it, but you'll never make it to heaven without your name being in the Book of Life. And if it is left up to God to do the doing, and then the name was put there, there would never be one person in hell, not one. They'd all go to heaven. But God is not going to do the doing of one person. Brother, when your name goes in the Book of Life, it's because you have responded to God's word and you have listened and you have listened and obeyed what God told you to do. Jesus, with his first sermon after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he said, don't fear man. He can kill the body. Fear God that can cast you into hell. Now, you know what he said the next verse? There? Only one of the Gospels give it to us. The others talk about the hands. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Take a chopping axe and whack it off. It's better to go in without a hand than to go into hell with two hands. If your eye offends you, you say, I just can't make it to heaven with my eyes. Of course, we know your eyes, your heart makes you high and do that. What he's doing is showing them how horrible it is to go to hell and the price you should be willing to pay. If something means more to you or as much to you as your eyeball, brother, I'm going to tell you, if I had to take a gouging thing and reach in and take my eye and bring it out here and whack it off and throw my eye out there, I'd be willing to do most anything in the world before I'd give up my eye. But God said if it offends you and keeps you out of heaven, it's better that you pluck your eye out if it offends you and keeps you from serving God than it is to go into hell with two eyeballs. You say, well, is that what he said? That's what he said, brother, and that's what he'll back up. Then in that same place there that I just read to you, he said, if your foot offends you. Now, how could your foot offend you? Well, that was his way of explaining that hell is hell. He said, if your foot offends you, cut your foot off and go through life with a wooden leg. than to go into hell with two legs. If your eyeball or your hand or your foot, anything so precious to you as these members of your body, it's better to sever them and get rid of them. It means there are people today, they'd serve God, yes, but it'll be a little sacrifice to give up what I'm doing. God help you. I want you to see hell as God sees it. Now, the Bible says that rich man in hell, he wanted water, but he never did get it. He said, we can't bring water to you. Said, in thy lifetime, you fared sumptuously every day, but now thou art tormented. And Lazarus is comforted. How many believe that, according to the Bible, hell is a place of torment? The Bible says they shall be tormented. They shall be tormented day and night, forever and forever, and have no rest. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which shall be poured out. What's going to be poured out? The wine of the wrath of God is going to be poured out without mixture. Every time in the past, you can't show me one place in the Bible where God ever stretched forth his hand in judgment and in wrath, but what first he mixed it with mercy. Sodom and Gomorrah's getting ready to have fire and brimstone come down, and babies are going to scream out as the flame envelops them, and they'll whimper. And their life will go out because brimstone, by the billions of tons of liquid brimstone, is being poured out on a bunch of sex perverts. Homosexuals getting popular today. They'll everyone go to hell if they don't repent. But God sent an angel down there and said, if you can go into that metropolis of hundreds of thousands, and if you can find 50, I'll spare the city. What about 40? I'll spare it for 40. Go into that metropolis. How about it? Abraham said, for 30. For 30, I'll spare it. What about 20? For 20, I'll spare it. But he couldn't find them. And God destroyed it. And if God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, turning in the world of ungodly, overthrew the world of ungodliness, and spared not the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, condemned it to an overthrow, making them an example for them that should live ungodly hereafter. You say, did God say that? He said that if you live ungodly, that means you don't live godly. You're not living godly, you're living ungodly. You know what makes people live ungodly is they're not godly. But you know what makes you live godly is because you are part of God. Why? You're a child of God. How? By birth, you're born again. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You pray. You take communion. You go to church. You read the Bible. You live holy. And that's the reason why you're part of God. You're God's children. You're God's sons right here in this world. It's hard to serve God living a sinner. Can't do it. Don't try to serve God and go to heaven a sinner. If you want to go to heaven, be a child of God. Now listen, I want to bring this to a close quickly here.
Just wait a few minutes on God.
He gave us that in Revelation 20. He said, I saw that great white throne, and he that sat on it, from whose face the heavens and earth fled away, and has found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Saw the dead. You die, that don't get you out of God's hand, brother. You're coming up. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened.
And another book is open, which is the book of life.
If your name is in it, you'll go to heaven. If it's not, you'll be cast in the lake of fire. But he opened up a bunch of books, B-O-O-K-S, and he judged them according to the works, according to the deeds in the book. Jesus said, be careful what you say, for every idle word that you say is going to be there when the books are opened and it is recorded, and you are to give an account of every idle word in the day of judgment. Why? Because God brings forth that which is good and that which is bad. And it says the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Not according to your grandma's works or your next door neighbor's works, according to your works. You're going to be judged according to what God puts there. Not only does he know when you say yes or no, he knows where you go, how you go, and the things you should do that you're not doing. God puts it down, brother, and one day they're coming forth. And you're going to be judged out of the books. Now, knowing that's the truth, if I had a jury, and it's tough, and I had lawyers, prosecuting attorney is going to bring up everything about my life. Brother, he didn't have nothing left out. He's going to uncover me. And I had the attorney over here, but I was dead guilty. And boy, I had a bunch of stuff, and he had it. How many believe the devil is your prosecuting attorney? God said he was. Huh? How many believe the devil accuses you before God? And how many believe that if there was a way to have the judge come to your house and say, son, are you willing to settle out of court? How many believe that would be a heyday? Huh? The Bible said judgment. There's two kind of people, and you are one of them. I'm not going to brand you, but God's word is branding you. You can brand yourself. He said there's two kind of people. One of them, they open up their sins. They confess their sins. They deal with the thing that God is displeased with. If you don't deal with it, it never will be dealt with. And God is going to deal with it. But there's some men's sins open up, going on before to judgment. How can you open them up here and go on before to judgment? It tells you right below there. For the time has come that judgment begins at the house of God. You stand and say, I'm guilty. I'm coming forward for mercy. And you come to the Christ. You surrender, you ask him to forgive you. He blots it out, never to be remembered against you. And you're given a clean slate. And then you're born again. He puts peace in your heart. He gives you the grace of God. He lets you walk in the Spirit. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Every person in this building right now, you're in Christ. Our sin has put you out of him. You say, oh, I'll just imagine now and say, all right, come in, Lord, just like this. It's not done that easy. Brother, you do it with eyes red, with weeping. If you have been put out of Christ, if you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you're lost as a goose. You're lost as the man out there that fights God in religion. He's an atheist. He's an agnostic. He's as honorary as hell itself. But he'll only go to hell and be burned forever. And if you let Christ out of your life, you'll go to the same hell. Jesus says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire that I prepared for the devil and for his angels. And so these multiplied billions, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment.
the righteous and the life eternal. Jesus said in four places, said it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If they don't do it in hell, God lied, but he never did lie. How many believe when you go to hell, there's one thing, you won't see them because of the blackness. Blackness. So how can it be black? Because scientists prove to you that the blackest heat that scientists can produce is as inky black as it can be. Has no light to it whatsoever. There are things that could burn you right into that don't have a ray of light to it. Why? It's nothing but the radiation of a certain kind of these minerals put together, like the ultra rays or things, and it's put together and it can cut you in two. They can even take some and cut your eye where a knife can't do it. It can do it, and it has no light whatsoever. It is done by extreme heat. My Bible says it'll be the blackness of darkness. Brother, the blackness in hell without God, the door shut, will never open up in a flame to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Blackness is enough, but it says the blackness of darkness. He said what? He said in the outer darkness. Here's the lights. The first darkness, you can look out of darkness, and it's a dark night, but way in the distance, I can see the flicker of a star. A cloud opens up, and I see the flicker of a cloud. Even the clouds on a dark night. The moon is hitting the other side. The clouds have a certain amount of light. Though I am in darkness, it's not the outer darkness. The outer darkness is when you pass through darkness and you are alienated from all hope of eternal light. Any type of light, you go beyond the darkness, beyond that, into outer darkness. And I looked up the original Greek last night. Make your hair crawl on your head. Beyond all light, with never a ray of hope. No hope forever. Eternally lost. It says, Jesus, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. But when you go into hell, it's because you didn't accept him. It's because you willfully made your choice. Your life is what you wanted. You made it. You didn't want to change it. You wanted it just like it was, but it didn't please God. So you couldn't go to heaven. And then when you were cast into the lake of fire, I looked up where Jesus said four times about the worm dying not. I thought, well, it may mean the soul. He didn't call a soul a worm. So I knew what they'd told me numbers of times about the cement plant. You look into that fire, it's a white heat melting those rocks. And you can see just millions of fireworms. They're called fire maggots. You go down and let you take a look at them. They only survive in the extreme heat called fire maggots. I looked this up in the original Greek, and where it says, and where the worm dieth not. It said, where the worm, the maggot, will never die. Brother, to be in a blacky, inky place, where there's, above all, when it comes to my brain, no hope. For a billion years, there's no hope. In any situation on earth, there is hope, a flicker of hope. If I am
downed on a battlefront, if my side is ripped open, if blood's pouring out, if my brain is swaying because of what's going on, there's hope I can pray. There's a hope, a hand stretched out. God might listen. I could go to heaven and be with God. But brother, when once you face God in a sign to the lake of fire, and you hear him say, depart from me, ye cursed, as they cried out in Jeremiah, the harvest is past. Summer's ended. We're not saved. They that were there to receive the judgment. And when you are cast in to the lake of fire, it'll be fire you'll feel. And the torments will be beyond any comprehension of a human being. And you'll feel the maggots of hell. You say, who designed it? Not God. He loved you enough to send his own son, who was in heaven, send him down to go to a cross and be pierced and crucified, called a devil, spit upon, lied. He did all that to save you from hell. And when you go your stubborn will and go into hell, you climb through the fingers of God to get in the blackness and darkness. My last words is the word of Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, his own brother. I want you to listen to this as I read to you the description that Jude gives us here. It says, Jude has only one chapter. And it says here, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, in whom, and he goes on to say, they're twice dead. They have been motivated and moved by the pressures and powers of this world and not by God. They are empty. They have nothing in their vessel. They're empty. They're fruits. The tree has never produced fruits. Without fruit, it says right here. What happens to them? It said, with whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. Jude said it. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.
Is a lamp, a light to show thee the path that thou art walking. If you choose to reject the light, my word becomes darkness to you, and how great is that darkness? But if you choose to walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You choose your own destiny. Choose life and live. Choose death and be eternally damned. I've set before you life and death. Choose you now whom you'll serve.
That was God talking. I want everybody to stand to your feet. I'd like for every person, if you knew you was going to die the next minute and stand before God, take a chance on having everything right. Would you want to pray? Are you absolutely 100% sure that all sins run the blood?
God said
that you have not violated God's law by committing sin and neglecting to ask him to forgive you.
My friend,
if you have sin unconfessed in your life, you're lost. God, under no circumstance. If you die, you couldn't go to heaven. If you let one sin in, you'd have to let two. If you let two, you'd have to let 100. There's not one sin. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. It's not a strain to serve God. It's a strain when you don't.
When you serve God, you pray. When you serve God, you read the Word. When you serve God, you let those around about you know where you're going, and you let them know that you'd like to have them come your way. You have a testimony. Because you are saved, you have a testimony. How many believe the church could do a little bit better than it's doing in the world today? I'm not saying. Right now, as I stand looking at you, you're ready or you're not? You need to pray. We're going to take communion before this service is over. And I want you to go out of there happy knowing that everything's been taken care of. It only takes just a lift of the hand and from your heart saying, God, I need mercy now. I'm coming and settling out of court. I don't want anything moved that'd keep me out of heaven. I want you to come up here because you want to serve God from this minute. You want to serve God like He wants you to and not be back in the same rut next week or next month. Is anything come between you and God? If so, if it's as much as your eyeball, He didn't mean cut your eyeball out. You'd give up anything before you cut your eyeball out, but there's a lot of things you hold dear. And God says, it's taken my part in your life. Has a thing become an idol to you? Lay the idol on the table. Put God first. Things are right in your life, providing you keep them in the right place. But you get them out of the right place and get warped. How many believe I love your soul and I preach to you the truth this morning? I want everyone in the balcony, the lower floor. You want to come here to the front and you want to come to God, not Brother Hibbert, and you want to ask God to help you this morning. And if you're not a Christian, you're coming and saying, Brother Hibbert, from this morning, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to make a dedication. If I haven't been serving God like I ought to, I'm coming. I'm making my dedication this morning. And then we're going to take communion when you get through. Come on, start marching down the aisle. From the balcony to the lower floor. I want you to move out.
God sets before you life and death, my friend.
There's any number of people here this morning. You wouldn't for nothing in the world for God to say to you, son, I've settled it. I've weighed you up. And there's no chance, no hope of praying now. You're going to stand before God just as you are. It'd scare the very daylights out of you. God's hand is outstretched now, but one day He said, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock at you when your fear comes upon you. When fear and desolation comes as a whirlwind, you'll seek me. But you will not find me, but you will die in your sin. Why? Because you said, it's not my time. I'll come my time. I called and you refused. I read to you in Hebrews where it says, and have done despite the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace is talking to people right now, telling you that you haven't been living a Christian life like you ought to, and you need to come down and ask God to forgive you and start over.
My friend, which will
it's the easiest thing in the world to go to hell, and there's a lot of people going there. God's not going to alter a heaven for you. You've got to come just like anyone else. If there's no condemnation, your life pleases Him. Your activity for God, your prayer life, your reading the Word, your attending church, you putting God first in everything. Okay, if not, and you stand guilty before God, you need to come and put God first in your life. We've reached a time in the closing of the Gentile age. The Jews are back and the flag is up. It's almost impossible to get them to break. That God could save a Jew any time since 1900 years ago. Any time they'll come. But they didn't come. Why? Give them a spirit of slumber. I'll say this. If you're not right with God, you'd better fight yourself to the altar and ask God to have mercy. That's the only way you're going to get here.
You need to worry till you're shaken with conviction back there. The days of shaking with conviction, you don't see it today. Men move out because they've got a head, they've got sense, they know they haven't been living right, and if they'll come to God and ask God to have mercy, He'll do it. But He'll never do it unless you do your part. Do you think you could have got a Jew anywhere in the world to believe that God Almighty would cast Israel off? Never, not a one. But did He do it? He cast the whole nation off and scattered them as a byword and as a vagabond in the whole world for 1900 years. And He said, in the end time, I'll bring them back. And He did. How many believe I'm telling the truth? And how many believe I'm the best friend you ever had? And if you stand before God, you'll say, Brother Hibbert, you did the best you could to get me ready. There's something tells me right loud in my bosom right here that there's people still standing that ought to get out and come to the front here, and God wants you to do something for you, but you're not moving.
That dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. My grace is sufficient for thee in times of test, in times of disappointment, in times of stress and strain, in times of misunderstanding, in times of discouragement. My grace is there. I beckon you. I invite you to partake freely of my grace. Let my strength be in thee. Let my peace be in thy soul. Let my comfort that I alone can give so fill thy being. Let me walk in you and talk in you and be to you a God, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord of hosts.
God is not talking to people in another state. He's talking to people standing right here that hasn't moved. These have already come down. You know who you just heard from? The Lord Jesus. Stammering lips, another tongue. Well, I speak to this people. That's God talking. If that was to you, it's not you rejecting Brother Hibbert, it's rejecting God. If God could reach into hell in the blackness where there is no hope, eternally no hope ever, and get one soul out of there and give them your place and give them a chance in such loving invitation as Jesus gave us then, would they run? No. If they were in that balcony, I dare say they would leap over, risking breaking their legs. They would leap over and come screaming and fighting if they could come out of the hell of hells where there's no hope or ever will be and take your place and use your will. They'd fight their way to that altar with shaking and weeping and repenting. But they got there by doing what some are doing today, doing nothing about it till it's too late. They done despite the Spirit of grace. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall ye be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Has your life been a blazing fire? Can And you say, Jesus, I have never been lukewarm. No, never. For if I do, you'll spew me out. You said I would to God just cold or hot because you're lukewarm. I have not got lukewarm. God holds a fervent place in my heart. Can you say I have not lost my first love? Never. I have not lost my first love. I still have it. What I'm trying to do is to blast and to shake you into thinking. When a person is asleep, they're still alive, but they're not conscious of what's going on. Too many Gentiles today have been given the spirit of slumber. Oh God, right now as I raise my hand, wake them up. If you never wake them up again before the lake of fire, wake them up this morning in this service. Let them see their soul in the eyes of God. And you said now is the accepted time, not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. And in the day that you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Lord, you just spoke a message in tongues. Speak right now. I want you to move out. I feel others should come. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I feel as others that should come. Would you come? As you sit there, you're saying to yourself, this world needs an awakening. This world needs a shaking. But you're not willing to give yourself to say, I'm one of them that's going to let God do it to me now. Come on. God's speaking.
Down in the
yes, we'll do that. Pray for her, boys. You'll say, if I come down there, it may disrupt my way of life. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have no way of life. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son shall not even see life. But God's wrath abides on you. Brother, God never makes himself a liar. When you reject Christ, he's rejected you, the things that money can't buy. There are people here in this audience. You could be among the dead before the sun comes up. You could be among the dead before the sun comes up. You don't want to do no praying when you're sick and about to die. You want to do it while you're healthy, your heart beating freely. Thank God for those that are coming. Just a minute more. June, let's sing again. If the light's gone out in your soul, you say, Brother Herbert, I'm hungry. God help your belly. Brother, you'd would to God you didn't have a belly when you go to hell. You'd better listen to this. You don't hear this kind of preaching in churches everywhere. They'd be as improper as a jackass in a china closet. Did you hear what I said? How popular is a jack in a china closet? He's out of his place. Messages like this is out of its place. He said in the last days they would not endure sound doctrine. But brother, you've heard it this morning. You say you'll drive people away. Oh no, they'll come flocking. They're dying for the truth today. They come and pay their tithe for the preacher to tell them the truth. The happiest life you ever lived in your life is living in the peace and the will of God. All right, let's sing it, the sun. Yes.
How lonely your life then would be.
Tonight, then to you would have come. If the light has gone out in your soul. Think of it now. Oh, just think how in death you would feel
with a light growing dim
in your soul.
Oh, how lonely it will be.
Oh, how still. If the light has gone out in your soul.